Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western and Northwestern Oklahoma, maybe, at some point. We'll be back, not sure when. Anyhow, welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on a 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. It's Monday. That means Jim Traber will be joining us at 9:30. Pick his brain about the NFL and then some college football, I'm sure, as well. But we'll kind of save the NFL stuff for Jim. Because we just got so much else to talk about with the high school games over the weekend, Friday night, couple Saturday, or one Saturday of note here around these parts. And then also the college football from over the weekend. It's going to be a football show. I mean, we're here. It's what we wait all summer long for, is to get to this point to be able to talk about the games, react to what happened on the field, both in the college gridiron, the high school gridiron, and then the NFL as well. Take a look at the updated Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em standings. And then there were nine. We're down to nine, with 9 of 61 with a winning record at the moment.
Ooh, I didn't even look.
9 of 61 with winning records. I had a...
Should I not look?
I had... You're... You know it's not a good sign when you have to click either the 2 or the 3 now.
Oh, thanks.
To find where...
ooh, my goodness, Jared. Wow.
Where Atha is at.
Eka, ooh. Eek.
So we'll update that in the next segment.
Thanks a lot, A&M.
Oh. Iowa State. Did you have Iowa State?
I did not.
Nice. I did. And once again, 2 weeks in a row now, I have second-guessed myself and went back.
Oh, this is brutal. I'm looking at this. This is brutal. This week was horrible. Thanks, Texas.
How about a 9 of 10 from Boomer Sooner 21? That is phenomenal. After a 2 of 10. 2 of 10 to a 9 of 10.
Well, at least my other fantasy participation went pretty
well. Yeah, you're welcome. I drafted you a better team than I drafted myself.
I will give myself credit for Nick Chubb, though. No, I will not. You drafted him, too, didn't you?
Yes. I drafted everybody. I drafted your whole team.
Well, I dropped J.K. Dobbins for... No, I didn't drop him, but I picked up somebody. I mean, I had the room to keep him, I guess.
Yeah, it's a... here's the truth of it. When Derrick Henry and Clyde Edwards-Helaire don't score a touchdown... and they combine for barely 100 yards rushing, my team isn't going to win. My team's not going to win when those guys are that bad.
Yeah.
So, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line, 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about everything you saw over the weekend, what you liked, what you didn't like, your favorite team, how'd it go. Give us a call, 225-9698. Getting hang on here.
We getting some trash talk already?
No.
Oh.
I can't see it now. Oh, I bet it's over here. Anyway, I'll change my deal. My messenger. Because I want to get it right. There were some beatdowns. There's a couple beatdowns put on some teams on the football field this weekend. From our Sayre Youth League.
Oh, okay.
Sayre Youth League, 5th and 6th grade, Wyatt Compton's team.
Yeah.
48-0 winners against Shamrock.
My goodness.
48-0 for this.
Have mercy. Come on.
5th and 6th.
Show a little compassion.
My wife got to learn about what a safety was. She correctly knew it was somebody's position.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, didn't know that was also a
way to score.
A way to score. She learned that last night.
Oh, good.
And so, 48-0 for them. The 3rd and 4th grade, I think they won 42-0. So, also against Shamrock. So, look out. Didn't go as well in baseball this weekend.
So it was a multi-sport weekend.
Yeah, a bunch of them played a football game, then played two baseball games on Saturday.
Man, it's a lot.
Undefeated on Saturday. Not so well yesterday.
Hmm.
A couple of the boys are still looking to make contact for the first time this season. Wyatt Compton possibly included in that as well, unfortunately. All right, high school football on Friday. The Big Elks went up to Guymon, the long road trip up to Guymon, and I thought it was a very mature win. What I mean by that is, you know, the pregame interviews with both Corey and Coach Meadows, they talked about, both of those guys talked about the trip and, you know, getting ready to play and not, you know, being there. And I thought that's what they did, minus the muffed punt, which wasn't a lack of, you know, that was just trying to make a play too quick, you know, by a young guy. That wasn't anything near not being ready to play. I mean, the defense came out and drove Guymon back 12 yards on the first series. You know, three straight plays where Guymon didn't even get a yard.
Right.
And so, and then from there, Daylon took it 62 on the very first play offensively, and the route was on. 56-8 was the final. I thought it was a perfect ending to what has been the best non-district season since 2011. And it was, you got your guys to play well and not have to play for very long. And then we saw all the young guys throughout the entire second half.
Right.
So just a really mature performance, I thought, by the Elks of going up there, not messing around, getting it done in the first half. That way it was time for the other guys that have been practicing hard as well to get some playing time and see what they could do.
Yeah, what do you call that? A business-like approach? Yeah. Absolutely. And it was nice to see those young guys, and I would say promising youth, because there was some stuff that I saw from those young guys that, because a lot of people would say, man, they got a stacked senior heavy team this year, but what are they going to have next year when all they leave? I think they're going to be okay after what I saw. Those guys continue to work and continue to improve. They're still going to be very tough to stop. So, especially offensively, what I saw. Yeah, it was very nice. It was business-like approach. It's what you expect from a well-coached team and a senior-heavy team, and that's what we got. Cleaned up the mistakes from last week. I think that's fair to say.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as between the ears, doing the silly stuff, that was cleaned up. And, you know, give Guymon credit. They weren't, you know, jawing a lot like the other team was.
They
bait in the boys, is what I'm saying.
No.
But it was all the way around a good Friday night.
Yeah, it was. And so now a week off to move on to the district play on the 24th down in Elgin. And we'll see, you know, kind of what the Elks start to see exactly what they're made of. I mean, it definitely looks to be a better team than it's been the last couple of years.
Right.
The results are proving that out. But outside of Pampa, I don't know, you know, exactly who Elk City's played. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they did what they're supposed to do, in my mind. And then the Pampa game was kind of a toss-up, and the Elks really pretty well dominated that one until there was 5 minutes left in the game, and all of a sudden it got pretty tight. But so far, the guys that are supposed to be performing are, and a bunch of that is that offensive line. That offensive line has been as you hoped it would be, with guys that have played a ton of football together, all upperclassmen, seniors or juniors. You know, with Zaylin's improvement, you know, he just talked about it from a physical standpoint. It looks really, really good. And I thought, you know, even though he only threw, what, three balls on Friday night, it looks like Corey Culver is getting more and more comfortable to being back behind center, you know, running the offense. And I still don't think we've seen the full capabilities of the offense. There's lots more there to unearth. And it starts with being able to run the football. And when you can run the football as effectively as Elk City's been able to so far, it opens up a plethora of things with the play action game. We saw it with the touchdown throw to Garbarino. All Corey had to do was look toward Daylon, and the entire Guymon defense was coming toward him. and pulled it back. And in Garbarino, there was nobody around him.
Yeah.
30 yards down the field, you know. And so I think those are some things that we could see as the season evolves, as the offense evolves, to make it even more scary for the opponents up on the schedule. And then defensively, I think Elk City's been pretty solid there too, for the most part. You know, I think maybe the one play that's given them trouble is that little wide receiver screen that kind of comes back over the middle. Mm-hmm. But they gave up a few yards on the first one the other night, and then all of a sudden kind of got that ironed out, forced a turnover on that, you know, with guys coming back to knock the ball loose. So all in all, not much else you could ask for in the non-district if you're a fan of Elk City. And now a week off to kind of heal some bumps and bruises. There are some that need to be healed. And hopefully that happens here in the next week and a half, and then come a week from Friday night down in Elgin when the games really start to matter. This team continues to grow the way that we've seen them here in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's encouraging. And I like the I like this off week. I know I say that over and over again, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you like this way. Does it worry you because they start 3-0, there's rhythm, there's stuff that works really well, and then all of a sudden you got to put a stop to it, or is it good to get healthy?
I think the health part, if you didn't have some guys dinged up, then I think you may be sitting there going, God, I wish we were still going, just to keep riding.
Yeah.
But there are some guys that, you know, either haven't made it back yet from some preseason stuff that may have a chance to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw Caden Holder for the first time this year.
Right.
After, you know, he hurt his knee during baseball. So, you know, we haven't seen anything from Brendan yet because he had the ankle injury before the season started. You know, Sammy Leal didn't play much, shoulder. I haven't heard anything about that yet. So just and obviously Mason Price, who didn't play either. So there's some nicks and bruises and bumps that from guys that need to play, obviously, mm-hmm. that can be healed. So probably you look at it that way, or I do anyway.
Yeah.
More important, you get those guys back to healthy than worry about losing some rhythm. But all in all, really good non-district for the Elks. Merritt went to OCA, Oklahoma Christian Academy, shut out 34-0 on Saturday. I had seen OCA with my own eyes the week before when they dismantled Sayre. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And they've got guys that a lot of people don't have from a physical standpoint. And so the Oilers unable to get it done there against OCA. They will finish out their non-district schedule. Do you know who it is off the top of your head?
I'm sorry, I don't.
I think it's Hinton.
I can get there.
At Hinton on Friday night. Sayre got a win over Carnegie. They played week zero as well, so they get the week off before Fairview comes to town to start district play. And then 4A1, man, we talked about it on Thursday, a little bit on Friday, had a really golden opportunity to kind of make a statement within, you know, 4A football with head-to-head matchups with a couple of teams from District 2. You had Clinton and Cash stepping down into 3A against some top five teams, and it didn't go well. Elk City's the only team that played and won.
Yeah.
This week.
That's right.
Bethany dropped just a shocker to Woodward, 17-12, with the way that those two teams had started the season. Cash fell way behind Plainview, came back, ended up getting beat 42-28. Clinton was, what, 24-21 to start the third quarter? No, 27-24, because Clinton kicked a field goal.
It's a
three-point game, and then Heritage Hall put two more on the board to run away. 39-24, Elgin was never really in it. When we were checking scores against Blanchard, they lose 35-7. Newcastle, actually that was Tuttle. Tuttle and actually the same score. 35-7 for Elgin at Blanchard, and then Newcastle dropped it to Tuttle 35-7. Weatherford didn't play El Reno because of COVID. So, man, it was an opportunity, but an opportunity missed in the non-district.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said before the games, kudos to everybody scheduling these games. Newcastle, Tuttle, Clinton Heritage Hall, who was it in Plainview?
Cash.
You know,
Elgin.
You're not going to get better by schedule. You know, sometimes teams and programs need to schedule those, for lack of a better term, cupcake games to get the wins, to build up the confidence and the work on things. But when you know what level you're at, or you want to find out where you're at, you schedule those tough games. And, you know, it just came out on the short end. And, you know, we talk about all those games. A lot of those games, on, they're all on the road, weren't they?
Think so, yeah.
They were all on the road. Those are tough environments. I know Clinton's gone to Plainview, and it was a tough out. That was a few years back. And, of course, it's never easy to go to Heritage Hall, the Bethany thing at Woodward. I feel like there's a story there we don't know. I feel like, were there players out, or did Woodward change up things? And
yeah, maybe Woodward had guys that weren't there the first game or something like that.
I feel like something's we're not getting the full story there, but that's why you play the non-district games like you do and find out where you're at moving forward. And I believe all those teams but Bethany. I know Bethany played week zero, so they're off too this coming week. But they all get back at it, and I'm going to assume most of them all at home. So we'll see if 4A1 can rebound. Of course, Weatherford got that, I guess it was called now a bye week because El Reno couldn't go. That was a good game. That would have been a good game to see. I'm not sure who they finished up the non-district with. I have to go back and look. But
Woodward.
Is it Woodward? Yeah. See, now that might answer some more questions. Yeah. it's Woodward at Weatherford, I assume.
Yes.
So that might answer some more. I know Clinton hosts Millwood. You know, can Clinton bounce back? I think Millwood beat Douglas on Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, they did. 27-7.
When I checked, it was 14-0 Millwood.
27-7 final.
Yeah.
There.
So yeah, there are some more. We'll have to look at the rest of the schedule for 4A1, but there are some tough tests to wrap up the non-district.
Yeah, I've got it right here. Chickasha is going to go to Darko.
Okay.
You got Clinton hosting Millwood. Elgin will be at home against Tecumseh, and then Newcastle will welcome Blanchard. And then Weatherford-Woodward. Weatherford at home against Woodward.
Not a bad slate of games.
Yeah, you're right. But most everybody at home, Elk City, Bethany, and Cash all played week zero, so they're all off before the district starts. As a matter of fact, Bethany starts with Cash at home. And then the Elks, of course, have Elgin on the road to start. So, yeah, it doesn't, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make any difference because it's not like your ranking matters where you get seated in the playoffs. It all has to do with what's coming up in district. But it was one of those kind of show-me weeks for 4A1, and nobody showed a ton, to be quite honest. A little disappointed that 4A1 didn't at least win one of those games. But it certainly didn't happen. And so if you look at the standings right now, there's only one team 3-0
with a perfect record.
Yeah, Weatherford's got a perfect record too.
This is true.
Just a 1-0 though.
Yeah,
they've only played one game.
Can you believe it that we're almost wrapping up the non?
I know.
And Elk City has. That's what I was thinking about driving back from Guymon. It's like, wow, that went by fast.
Already 3 games under the belt.
And now we're going to hit the ground running with some district play.
District, and before we know it, like you said a couple weeks ago, before we know it, we'll be walking into the big house and it'll be over. Western Oklahoma Realty Picks Contest, the college pick'em game, season long so far. Andy Peffer still on top. He was 7 of 10 the first week, 6 of 10 last week, a 2-game lead over Boomer Sooner 21, 9 out of 10 this week. That's a really good week to pick 9 of 10 winners against the spread. Miss Jiffy Lube, Peanut Butter Picks.
Some creative names.
Possum. Oh, and Skinny. 11-9. I've lost 3 winners by changing my mind at the last second. I had Michigan, changed my mind to Washington. And what a dumpster fire that is. Oh, well. You can still, listen, you can still get involved. 13 points is all you're behind, 130, because you get 10 per win. 61 of us. You can probably still get involved this week. Have a couple of good weeks, and bam, you're going to be right there.
Never know.
Fire off a couple of, like, 7 out of 10s, and you'll be able to leap a whole bunch of people. Where are you? I didn't see your name.
No, I didn't. I stopped looking after this week. I'm down there.
There you are, 6 of 14.
We don't need to bring that to air. Come
you
on.
Went 1-for.
I know, Aaron. Now the world knows.
A 1-for. You and Trey are tied.
Oh, well, I guess that's something.
You and Trey are tied.
Is this my buddy Trey or a different Trey?
Ice Trey.
Ice Trey.
It's always Trey.
That's Trey.
On the college football gridiron, man, Oklahoma State, second week in a row. Is it? We know their defense is pretty good. And we know their offense is pretty average right now. which is such a weird thing to see. Because Oklahoma State, for any of their faults over the past, well, since Mike Gundy's been there, basically, their faults have not necessarily ever been on the offensive side of the ball. It's been, man, you can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
You know, losing, scoring 40 points and losing. That's not happening right now. And it's a good thing that their defense is one of the better ones of the Mike Gundy era, or there's a chance they would have started off 0-2.
Yeah.
Because they just are not able to consistently maintain offensive production. They win 28-23 over Tulsa this week. But, man, they're going to have to get something fixed before the trip to Boise on the offensive side. And it's just it seems so weird to me to be associating struggling on offense with Oklahoma State, with either team from this state, because for the longest time, it's been the exact opposite problem for both of the state schools.
Yeah, it is so weird. And that game was, again, I was following. I wasn't able to watch on Saturday, but I was following it. You know, when I saw it was, 14-7 after three,
mm-hmm.
I thought, man, I don't know if Oklahoma State can pull this one out, and they did. But it is weird to see the offense kind of flutter for OSU, right? You'd think against a team like Tulsa and Missouri State, they could at least get it into the 30s. I mean, you'd almost be like, that's a given. But I don't know what it's going to take to change. Do you think – the play calling has been vanilla. I don't know. I didn't watch. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean,
That was kind of like the question of Lincoln Riley and against Tulane was, you know, don't want to show the whole playbook. But I mean, I wish people would throw that theory out the window. I hate that. But I mean, coaches, that is. I mean, do what you do week one is what you would do in a championship game at the end of the year, or bowl game, or whatever. So did you see anything that told you that he was doing something like that?
I think the offensive line hasn't gelled yet, and you're having trouble running the football. What was it, 1.9 per carry against Missouri State a week ago, 3.3 this week.
Yeah, that's not good.
You know, and really there was a point there, it was 14-14 in the fourth quarter where Tulsa's got it down in the red zone. And they just kind of run the football. First and goal at the 7. And they run three straight times, don't score a touchdown. And then on the ensuing kickoffs, when L.D. Brown took it to the house. You know, a touchdown there for Tulsa, a little bit more creativity going up a score, a full touchdown, and then having the kickoff. You know, the return happened, what have you. But, you know, that was a huge point in that game where Tulsa actually could have grabbed complete control of it. And, you know, it's early in the fourth quarter, but it is in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, Brown exploded, and the rest is history. And Oklahoma State ends up scoring 21 in the fourth quarter. But they're going to have to play better offensive football and be able to figure out a way to run the ball this week. Because I think Boise's going to put up some points. Boise's got a pretty good offense. And so the
right
Pokes
now, Boise open as a favorite.
Yeah, the Pokes are going to have to figure out a way to kind of clean up those offensive struggles. Spencer Sanders returned. He was okay, 15 to 26, 173. I mean, that's just the yardage total is just so small. And he rushed for 62 of the 140 yards. So when you look at the running back position itself, the average yards per carry, 2.6, 2.9, 4.5, and then 2.0. You know, that's just not good enough from that spot. Sanders, 10 carries, 62. So he averaged 6.2. So if you take – you take him out, they got 33 carries for 78 yards. 33 for 78. It's not three. It's in the twos again.
Yeah.
So I think for me that is figuring out the running game, figuring out how to get people moved off the line of scrimmage. And then on the outside, I mean, Jaden Bray had a really nice touchdown where he kind of slipped a tackle. But they've got a bunch of young guys there too with Bray, Green, Bryson Green. Then you've got Brendan Presley who kind of came on in the bowl. He came on in the bowl game, but that was it. And They're just kind of looking for answers right now, I think. And some younger guys, especially on the outside, are being put into positions they're probably not ready for just yet. And when you can't run it, then, you know, you're searching for answers. So I think it starts with being able to run it, being able to give those receivers a little bit more time to kind of get ready to play all the way. And it's going to have to happen starting Saturday because, I mean, you can definitely see a scenario, and it's not even that far-fetched, where Oklahoma State goes up there and loses this game to Boise if they can't figure that part of it out.
Oh, it's not far-fetched at all. I completely agree with you. Any other games, at least in the league or in the conference?
Obviously, Iowa State, Iowa is the biggest game of the slate this week. And kudos to our texter, TJ, on Friday. He talked about how bad Brock Purdy has struggled in big games in his career. And we saw that rear its ugly head again on Saturday.
Dare I say it wasn't Purdy.
13-27 for 138 and three picks. Yeah. Hunter Deckers came in, 11-16, 114 and a touchdown. Breece Hall fumbled the game away to me on the 3-yard line. You know, that was just – it was 14-10. Iowa State was kind of maybe trying to wrestle some momentum. And Hall fumbles it. Iowa picks it up and walks into the end zone midway through the third quarter. And that was it. Because you didn't have any faith in the Cyclones being able to put up enough points to win the game.
But
at that
point, to be honest, that was the one game I think I hit, because I never trust Iowa State to come out of September undefeated. They always do this against their in-state rival. Always.
6 in a row.
Always.
Matt Campbell.
Until that changes, I'm not going to pick Iowa State in this game, like, ever.
Matt Campbell still hasn't beat Iowa. He's 0-5. They've lost 6 straight to the Hawkeyes. And then, obviously, the other one was Oregon. Pac-12 is not dead, Jared. Matter of fact, the Pac-12 is alive and well.
I think so.
With UCLA, with the impressive win at home against LSU, and then Oregon. This is the best win by anybody this college football season so far.
Oh, sure.
Going to Ohio State and knocking off the Buckeyes 35-28. So Oregon announces that it's there.
Yeah, that game really reminded me of the last time Ohio State lost at home, and that was to OU. Because in what happened that year, it kind of propelled OU the rest of the season. This could propel Oregon the rest of the season, because that Pac-12 schedule is light and fluffy. They're going to be able to get through that, I think, maybe unscathed.
Yeah, UCLA, Oregon looks like a lot bigger game.
It does.
And then, USC, that was the last one, though.
And USC.
USC. Yeah. Man, how does Stanford get blown out by K-State and then just turn around and put a beat down on the Trojans?
I don't know. I started watching that game until I fell asleep.
Clay Elton. The Clay Elton era may be over.
I think so.
By the time this season is done.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
All right, we'll talk NFL next.
Sweet piggy.
Yeah, and then there's that one. Arkansas dismantled Texas. Texas isn't back either.
No.
Neither is USC. Joined now by the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, how are you?
Good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. I'm sure that you're on cloud 9, as the reports of the Steelers' demise were maybe a little bit too early. I know you had actually mentioned you thought that was going to be a pretty tough game for Pittsburgh to go in there and win, but the defense kept them in the game until Ben and the boys got the offense on track, and Pittsburgh probably the best win of the NFL season so far, going into Buffalo and winning yesterday.
Yeah, you know, the Steelers' defense, fellas, is really, really good. You know, it reminds me a little bit of OU 3-4 years ago, when the offense was unbelievable and the defense stunk. Well, it's the exact opposite for the Steelers. The offense has got problems, and the defense is just incredible. They played an unbelievable game. If you watched it, you know that there were 55 dropbacks. They only blitzed one time. One blitz. And they were all over Josh Allen. So I thought it was a great win. I mean, I penciled that game in as a loss, you know. So they got to be feeling really good about themselves. And then the offense, you know, that they didn't pass the 50-yard line until 13 minutes left in the third quarter. That's how bad it was. But they figured it out in the second half. They did some good stuff. So, look, I'm not saying I think they're going to win the division, or I don't even know if they're a playoff team. What I do know is they're 1-0, and they beat a team that I think is really good. Now, there's going to be people today, well, good, Buffalo's not as good as they thought. You know, everybody thought, well, what Buffalo needs to do is run the ball. I mean, you can't be dropping him. You can't let him throw 51 passes. That's ridiculous. And they average like 6 yards a carry against the Steelers, which, like, again, I said, the Steelers' defense is really good. So it was a great win for the Steelers. Very, very excited. Very happy. Now they got to keep on going. And they got to figure out that offensive line a little bit. You know, they did it a little better in the second half, but Najee Harris only averaged 2.8 yards a carry. So they got to do better than that.
Within that division, Cincinnati with the win in overtime against Minnesota, and then the game yesterday afternoon in Kansas City, Cleveland controlled most of it, but fourth quarter mistakes allowed Pat Mahomes and the boys to end up winning 33-29. What were your thoughts on the Browns? Everybody's kind of preseason second favorite in the AFC.
Well, there's no doubt that they're really good. I mean, that offensive line's unbelievable. And you know, Baker Mayfield, when things are going well, and I'm telling you guys, he was barely touched for most of that game. But when he's standing back there, he's a really accurate quarterback. But you know what? It's still the Browns, and it's still Baker Mayfield, all right? And I'll tell you the big play of the game. Everybody wants to talk about the punt. I'm going to tell you right now, Skinny, trust me, even if they get that punt off, Kansas City's going down the field and scoring.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not like maybe the time changes a little bit. But here's the biggest play of the game. All day long, Baker Mayfield is putting the ball on the money every single play, right? It was just like boom, boom, boom. And then they started to get after him a little bit in that one series. And he had a third down, and they ran that flag route. And the dude is open, and he had been hitting it all day, and he threw it behind the guy. Remember the play I'm talking about?
Is it the one he kind of skipped into Njoku when he kind of moved around and then stopped and missed him on the sideline?
Was it? I don't know if he moved. It was just like the in and out route, and he just underthrew it, and the defensive back knocked it down.
Oh yeah, that was
they punted the ball back.
Yep, yeah, the defensive back had
you
his
know
hands.
What I'm talking about?
Yeah, he had his hands right in the middle of the ball. Yep.
All day he was hitting that pass all day, and so if he just throws it 2 yards further, it's a completion. Who knows what happens? But he didn't. And then, of course, the interception at the end. So Baker Mayfield, listen, everyone's going to say Baker Mayfield played a great game. And he did. But you know what a great game is? You make the plays when you have to. And he didn't. It's that simple. So I kind of laughed at it, to tell you the truth. I can't stand the Browns. You know that. So.
Yeah, I think
they're good. They're good.
I think you saw the difference between a guy that is making $250 million over his contract and a guy that's hoping to sign one for probably more money than he's worth because when the chips were down, you know, Mahomes makes the throw to Tyreek Hill that changes a lot of the momentum of that game, and it's a throw that literally only he could probably make in the league. And then from there, you just had the sense of, well, Kansas City's winning this game.
Well, and guys, they literally played a perfect game
yeah.
through about 3.5 quarters. They played a perfect game, and they see this. Now it's Kansas City. Heck, if they'd have played like that against some of the other teams in the league, they'd have won big. And they're going to win a bunch of games. Heck, they play Texas next week. I'm sure CBS will put that game on, too. You can mark it down so we can win a great game. But, yeah, they're a really good football team, but they're not as good as Kansas City, and they proved it again. But they're a really good team. There's no doubt about that. By the way, who's leading that division right now?
The Steelers.
Steelers and the Bengals. Thank you. Thank you.
The biggest shocker for me yesterday was the Saints just romping over the Packers 38-3. How much are the murmurs going to be about the offseason that the Green Bay went through with Aaron Rodgers and all this stuff, and everyone's saying, see, if they had a normal offseason, that score's probably flipped. Is that going to creep in to some conversations up in Green Bay?
Well, shouldn't it, guys? I mean, I think it should creep into everybody's conversation. I mean, they have turmoil the entire offseason. And I don't know, man. I think Aaron Rodgers is an absolute stud, but I also think that the things up there are really messed up. But I will say this. You know, I kept saying how much I love Jameis Winston mm-hmm. because I think that, learning under Drew Brees for that whole year is going to really help him. And how many interceptions did he throw? Zero. Now, he only had like 148 yards, but five touchdowns. I'm telling you, he's going to have a good year, fellas. He's going to have a really good year. The Saints are going to be better than people think.
I think maybe the team that played the best was the Cardinals. You know, Tennessee was kind of a little bit of a chic pick for, if it's not Kansas City, maybe Tennessee. And, man, Kyler Murray, Chandler Jones, they went in there and just dismantled the Tennessee Titans. You know, Murray, that you've talked about it, huge year for him in his third season. He's got to figure out a way to stay healthy. But when he is right and healthy, man, that team has tons of weapons. And defensively, they've gotten better over the offseason, I think, as well.
Well, they've gone out and gotten people. They're trying to win. And in that division, correct me if I'm wrong, are they all 1-0 out there? I think all of them won, right?
Yes, I believe that's right.
I predicted to win the Super Bowl. The Rams are in, got 1-0, San Francisco. So, yeah, that's a tough division. They look great. Kyler Murray is unbelievable. He had a couple plays that were just superstar plays. If he just stays healthy and doesn't throw interceptions, fellas, he is a great, great, great superstar. But, yeah, that was a really good win. I've never been a Titans fan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's really cool that they can get the best rusher in the league. I just don't think you win that way. Tannehill has been very efficient. He didn't look good at all yesterday. I hear now. Do you notice that if anybody gets the COVID, they blame it on the COVID now?
Yes.
It's always the COVID. He looked bad. Of course, Spencer Sanders had it and everything. I guess there's some truth to it. There's a big article in the paper today that says how doctors are amazed at, what's it doing to people. I guess I shouldn't make fun of it because it's a bad deal. But it's really interesting to me that there's excuses a lot. I think that the Titans are a good team, but they're not a great team.
We were on the road to Guymon Friday, and so I didn't get to hear what you thought.
On the road that should be a movie, On the Road to Guymon.
I didn't get to really hear your
It'd
thoughts.
Be a long movie.
Yeah, it was a long one. I didn't get to hear your thoughts about what you thought about Dallas and Tampa Bay. Really, really good game, and two quarterbacks that just played their tails off last Thursday night.
Now, more important, did the Elks go 3-0?
They did, 56-8. Elks are 3-0 with a week off before district starts.
Wow, very nice.
Our running back is, let's see, we played three games, and Daylon Thompson has rushed for like 730 yards in the first three games and scored nine touchdowns on the ground.
Now, is he a college guy?
Man, he might be.
He's going to turn some heads if those numbers keep up.
You know, like probably a UCO. I don't think we're...
He's tough enough. He is definitely built for it, I think. Yeah.
Well, good. Good for the Elks. And by the way, good for your Cowboys. I'm not a moral victory guy, but they really went in there. They look better. Their defense is better. Dak was unbelievable. I will say this. CeeDee Lamb's a superstar, but he better catch the ball.
Yep.
I mean, he can't have the last year. He had 9 drops. Had a couple in this game, but he's a great, great player. Their offense, man, is really good. Their defense is getting better. And they got a little break yesterday. I don't know, Fitzpatrick getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they end up losing that game, although Heinicke played pretty well. But I think that that's really the only team in the division. Although Jalen Hurts did good things, too, in Philly. But, of course, that was against a horrible team. But, yeah, that was a great game. And then Tom Brady's just I don't even know if he's a human being, man. The things that this guy's doing at 44 years old. So, yeah, that was a great football game to watch, especially, for me that I'm not a fan of either one of them, to just sit there and watch the games. It's great, great football. And the Cowboys got a really tough second game out there with the Chargers. If they could figure out a way to beat the Chargers, that would really be a nice little victory. But, the Cowboys are getting better. They're getting better.
You mentioned Tom Brady, and it's definitely not orthodox decision to make, but if you're Mike McCarthy with a minute and a half to go, Tampa only had one timeout, and on the 4th and 6, you kick the field goal to go ahead. But do you think at all in your mind, if we can just pick up this first down, then we can make them run their timeout, and then we can kick a field goal with Brady not getting a chance to have the ball? Is that something that, we've seen it happen so many times by that guy. You almost have to do stuff to keep the ball out of his hands because you feel like it doesn't matter how long he has on the clock, he's going to do something to go score and beat you.
You know what that's like, man? That's like walking Barry Bonds with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, it makes some sense, but boy, oh boy, man, it looks really stupid, especially if it doesn't work.
What happened in that drive? I mean, it's a long time ago, but the Cowboys had a penalty, right? Didn't they? They would have gotten a first down and been able to run the clock and have a field goal. They could have won the game.
Yeah.
What happened? What was the penalty? I can't remember.
It was a holding.
Another holding. Mm-hmm. And that's right. That's exactly what it was. It was a holding because Vita Vea was just running over the kid from Texas like he was a child. But here's the problem with your Cowboys, man. Guess what? Right away, here's Collins cheating, doing something he's not supposed to do. Now he misses five games. The lack of discipline with your kid. You guys know what you know this. Mm-hmm. I'm not ripping on the Cowboys. It all comes from Jerry Jones. They just are such an undisciplined organization. That's what they are. And these dudes don't even think about the possibility of getting in trouble. They do what they want to do. And heck, we could list 20 people in the last 10 years that have either been suspended or something's happened to them with the Cowboys. And now you lose your right tackle for five games. So it's just, I don't know, man. It has to be very frustrating to be a Cowboys fan.
I mean,
it was like clockwork on Friday getting that news. I was with Aaron and said, it's not a Cowboys season until stuff like this happens.
No, you're right. You're exactly right.
Anybody who, if you had anybody, was your preseason MVP? And if how'd that person do yesterday if you had picked somebody?
Well, I mean, I hated that everybody else was jumping on board, but, you know, I love Josh Allen. I think the dude is just an absolute superstar. And, you know, the Steelers, gosh, if you watch that game, man, the Steelers defense just was, they were unbelievable all over the daggone field. So I still think that he's going to have a great year. But he is what he is. I think Herbert's going to have a great year. I love that kid. That's one kid that I was right about. But there's a bunch of, great, it's going to be a quarterback, more than likely. Bunch of really good quarterbacks. Obviously, Rodgers was embarrassing. And, you know, Brady has a chance. I mean, if he keeps doing stuff like he did, he'll have a chance. And Dak Prescott has a chance. So I pick Josh Allen, but I don't know if he'll end up getting there. That's a bad loss for them. I know the Steelers are a good organization and a good team, but you can't lose at home like that when you're favored. Can't do it.
Skinny, who was mine?
Yeah, Jared's just trying to pump himself up because he picked Kyler Murray to be the MVP.
Well, good. He's got a chance if he stays on the field.
Because I think he's going to be motivated this year. He has to have a big year. Has to stay healthy. Jared, has to cut down the turnovers. Yes, go ahead.
I could line up about six games over the last 3 years and watch him. We could watch him on tape and you'd go, oh, this dude should be the MVP. But then there's other games where he doesn't play as well, and there's other games where he's in his street clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. He should win an MVP, but he's got to stay on the field. You know, he's just so slight. He's just not a real big guy, you know?
Let's go to Stillwater on Saturday. Oklahoma State ekes by Tulsa 28-23. Jared and I were talking earlier about, you know, how long has it been since Oklahoma State has had this amount of questions on the offensive side of the ball? That's one thing that you kind of took for granted up there with those guys, especially since Gundy's been there. What is wrong? I mean, the running game can't really get going. Young receivers, quarterback inconsistency, all of the above. It just doesn't look like an OSU offense right now to start the season.
Well, I think the number one situation is the daggone play calling. I think they call a game like they're scared. And Mike Gundy's got to figure it out because he's the head coach and he's an offensive guy. But the offensive line obviously is not near as good as they thought it was, which is just a big mistake on their part. I don't know, man. I think they're going to get their lunch coming up. I really do. I thought that they'd be favored by a couple of points, but obviously Vegas realized that's what I realized, that Boise State's offense is really good. And, you know, look, I think that OSU's defense is like a top 40 defense, you know, top 50, which is good. In the past, that would have been great, right? When you got an incredible offense. I don't know how many years I've sat on the radio and said about both OU and OSU, hey, just give up 24 points a game and you're going to win almost every game. Well, if this defense gives up 24 points a game, they're not going to win every game. And they gave up 23 to Tulsa, who is not very good offensively. So, yeah, the defense is good. There's no doubt it's good.
but it's not good enough to let this offense win. So we'll see. They go to Boise and win, fellas. That'll be a tremendous win. Not that Boise is a superstar squad, but I've watched them. That quarterback, Bachmeier, can really play. They've got about three or four dudes that can run and catch. This will be a test, a real test.
Go ahead.
Well, I got a question about the usual suspects of college football playoff, our usual contenders, that being Ohio State and Clemson. In your opinion, is it too early to count them out with both losing already, or do you think there's enough time for them to get back into this thing?
Well, if either one of them go undefeated the rest of the way, they're going to have a great chance, especially Ohio State. Ohio State probably gets in. But it's crazy stuff. I said after the game, fellas, I like your thoughts. I think it would have been better for OU if Ohio State won. I mean, I don't know if you – why would you want a Pac-12 team to do well? You know, I think it's good when the Pac-12 just loses and then they're out of it, and then you deal with the other conferences. So, you know, I was down there getting ready to do my pregame show, and all the OU fans were watching the screen right near us, and they were, you know, cheering against Ohio State. And I just thought to myself, boy, if I'm an OU fan, I think I want Ohio State to win. Because Ohio, let me tell you something, guys, a 12-1 Ohio State team, they're going to get a bunch of people on that committee wanting them to get in. They're Ohio State, right? They're Ohio State. And even though I think that league, now I think Iowa's good, I think Penn State's good, but that league may not be great. It's better than the Pac-12. It's better than the Big 12. Look, the Big 12's looking like it sucks, fellas.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's exactly right, because – if you get into a situation in Oklahoma, normally they've got the pretty tough non-conference game or even sometimes games to fall back on in arguments around the country. This year is not that case, with Tulane maybe being the best team that you play in the non-conference, with Nebraska coming in on Saturday and their struggles. I think you're exactly right. The more teams and more conferences that get involved, the muddier the waters get, instead of just saying, okay, we've got four conferences, we could pick four teams and move on.
Right, that's exactly right. Let all them out. USC stinks. That was a terrible loss. I think UCLA is good, and I think Oregon's really good. So you really you need those teams to lose. You don't want Oregon running out in that league because they'll get in. So, yeah, again, it was a great win for Oregon. I think Cristobal is a tremendous coach. I really do. I like the way they play at quarterback. What's his name? Anthony Brown. Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
I really like what he can do. But the good thing for college football is that Texas is back, so we're happy about that.
That's exactly where I was going next. Apparently, Texas isn't back.
I think Arkansas is back, but they're closer to being back than Texas is.
Yeah, go look at Arkansas' schedule, fellas. They're gonna probably drop a 7-5. They've got a stretch of football where it's just absurd. But they are definitely playing good football. They dominated the line of scrimmage. I mean, it was, well, they averaged like 7 yards a carry. It was ugly, just embarrassing for Texas. I don't know what they were doing. Sarkisian was supposed to be this great offensive mind. They barely threw the ball in the first half. That was total domination. And now they got a quarterback controversy, so that's
good. I was wondering, in the loss, did they resolve that? But I think no. I think the quarterback controversy is bigger than ever.
Yeah, with Thompson coming in and looking good, I don't know what they're going to do. But what? They better figure it out, because they got some games coming. Although I don't know how good TCU is. I don't know if anybody. I still think Iowa State's a good football team. I just think that, they got to figure out how to start better. But I think by the time OU plays them, I think that'll be could be a good football game. And then I don't know about OSU, TCU, Baylor. I don't know about any of these teams. West Virginia lost to Maryland. So the Big 12 looks bad right now.
Man, you're not kidding about Arkansas' schedule. So they played Georgia Southern, and then they have A&M at Georgia, at Mississippi, and hosting Auburn. Four weeks in a row.
If they go 1-3, that'll be good. And then, of course, they have to play later. They play Alabama and LSU on the road back-to-back,
yes,
right?
Yes, and then they get a couple of weeks and then have at LSU, at Alabama. Holy Moses.
Yeah, now, I think LSU will probably get better. I mean, I think UCLA just pushed them around. They'll probably be better by that time. But, yeah, Arkansas, man.
Arkansas, if Arkansas goes 8-4, they've had a great year. I mean a great year with that schedule.
You talked about Iowa State a little bit. You know, it just it's the same old with that game. Matt Campbell still hasn't beat Iowa. Iowa's now won 6 straight. And the one consistent thing in big games for Iowa State is Brock Purdy turnovers. 3 interceptions. Breece Hall fumbled the game away, in my opinion, down there on the 5-yard line. That at that point, being down 2 scores, you felt like it, you know, 11 points was 100 with the way that Iowa's defense was playing. It's just, you know, I think you're right. Iowa State's pretty good, but man, they just have not figured out a way to get the season started out on the right foot, especially in that game against Iowa.
Isn't it a little bit similar in a, like a microcosm at, to OU and OSU? You know, Iowa's the bigger brother. Iowa State's the small brother. Yeah. Iowa State's really good. Watch out. And they just keep on losing. It's not that long of a period, but it just seems like it's kind of the same deal. And, you know, Mike Gundy's a really coach. Good coach. Campbell's a really good coach. Just doesn't make a lot of sense. But, yeah, they got to figure something out. I don't know what they're going to do in that game. And it hurts them, too, when they keep losing. Because now they're going to drop way down. I don't even know what they dropped to, but they're
like 18,
way down.
17 or 18, yeah.
You know, let me tell you one thing that is guaranteed, fellas, about preseason polls. If you are not a big-name team and people think you're going to be really good and you lose early, you drop like a rock. Because teams are like, oh, it's Iowa State. They're not good. Look, we thought they were good. Get rid of them. They drop all the way to 18?
Yeah, 14, I'm sorry.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's 14.
Oh, 14.
14.
Okay, well, it's still a pretty big drop. So, yeah, they're in trouble now. They're in trouble. They're going to have to beat an OU. They're going to have to probably run the table to even think about a playoff situation. But it looks to me like it's OU and everybody else. You know, boy, how bad was that Western Carolina team? Thank you so much for not having me comment on that game.
Yeah, I mean, there's just
that's actually although, the first time that's been brought up in this show.
Yeah, there just wasn't anything to talk about.
Let me tell you all something, guys, and this will make OU fans really mad. I saw two things in that game that I've never seen in my life. One, a 12-minute period, which, by the way, I heard happened the week before, too, with TCU and Duquesne. Okay? And the other thing was, a coach throwing the ball all over the field when they're up over 60 points. What is he doing? I mean, does he hate the other coach or something? Do you realize, guys, their only punt that they had, they went pass, pass, pass. They were up by 60-something. I mean, what is that? What is he doing? I think he's
been listening to the outside talk of how he takes the foot off the gas and the intensity. I know it's Western Carolina. I think he's just trying to prove a point.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. There was no way he was proving any point against them, okay? Whether they won 76-0 or 66-0, it didn't make any difference. No one was going to say, oh, they didn't take the foot off against one of the worst teams that's ever stepped on a field. I just could not believe he was doing it. Now, if you want to do it against some Nebraska or if you want to do it against an OSU, I mean, fine. But, fellas, up over 60 and throwing it almost every down, that's a little bit ridiculous if you ask me.
Yeah, because the truth is, even if you want to say, well, he's trying to get a second-team quarterback some reps and all, it's not going to do any good because he's not ever going to play a team that bad. Practice is harder than what it was out there on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, but you know what, though? I mean, I don't care in the third quarter.
Right.
That's fine. And Caleb Williams was throwing and running. Then they bring in the Rucker kid. But, fellas, in the fourth quarter with like 4 minutes to go and you're up 60-something, I'm not going to rip him, but that to me was just crazy. I don't know. I don't know what was going on. It was almost like he didn't like the other coach.
Yeah, the coach in OU grad?
John Cooper was on the staff, I know. One of the centers.
Kerwin Bell, right. Kerwin Bell was the coach.
Crazy.
I don't know. That was a weird deal. That was a bad team, boy. Wow. Really bad. Like as if Tulane beats them by 40-something.
Yeah. Yeah, that was just horrible. There's no doubt they were horrible. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Can't wait to hear your show this afternoon to recap the college and NFL weekend with your callers and listeners.
All right, fellas, thanks.
Thank you very much. Ultimate Jim Traber joining us on a Monday as he does each and every week. Good day. Good quick day. The show, it's amazing how fast the Monday show goes.
It really is.
It's just amazing.
Yeah. It is Monday, right? Right?
Yeah, it is Monday. It is Monday.
My days. The short week last week.
And you know what?
I felt
really,
like I didn't get a full weekend, but I did. It was weird.
You know what? It really messed you up last week with the short week.
What's that?
If the game would have been on Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah. That really messed you up.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't have seen me on Friday.
Yeah,
I probably would have forgot.
Isn't it the weekend?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks so much to Jim. Thanks so much to all you guys hanging out with us, participating with us. 61 in the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em. Still time. I still think somebody could get in right now and figure out a way.
Well, you could definitely get in right now and still beat me.
Still probably start even ahead of Jared now.
Probably just by entering.
Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and the gang at Western Oklahoma Realty, People for Property. Have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.